From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, live from NPR Studios, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. News, information, girl talk. I'm Mike Pesca.
And I'm Rachel Martin. It's Monday, June 23rd. I'm back.
Good to have you back.
Are that's you happy?
Not, yeah, that's not why we say girl talk.
No, it's not.
We're
going to
talk fingernails and relationships.
No. We're going to talk about all kinds of interesting things. None of it's going to be that, but we are going to talk about what I did last weekend. Do you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty exciting for me. I went to a concert. I don't do it often, but I stayed out late and did so. This was a band that took me back to my eighth grade year in Idaho. There was a movement. It was called the Wavers.
A movement was afoot?
It was. We were the Wavers.
Did the rest of us have a different word for Wavers?
I don't know what
like
y'all
new
called
Wavers?
Them. I don't know. God, I don't know. Something cooler than that. Man, we wore a lot of black and a lot of eyeliner, and we listened to a lot of these guys. You're ruining it.
Or did it come pre-ruined?
Come on. It's The Cure. Their new album's coming out September of this year. I was so excited. Thought I was going to see all kinds of crazy goth people. Instead, there were a lot of suburbanites wearing, like, khakis, button-downs, totally jamming out. That was a little depressing. It was also kind of fun.
But were they mopey?
No, everyone was in such
did
a good mood.
Out?
They were psyched. I was looking for depression. I was looking for a lot of moroseness. No, everyone was really,
really happy.
Did
they have crazy hairstyles?
There were some crazy hairstyles defying gravity. There were a few people who really went all out, like black leather and chains. And
yeah. I don't mind The Cure, but that guy is not even close to my favorite Robert Smith. I will say that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Our own NPR's Robert Smith is definitely our
favorite. Oh, yeah, he's in the top five, too.
So that's our Cure dose for the day. We're also going to talk about many other things, though, not girl talk alone. We're going to talk politics with Politico's John Harris. Barack Obama's kicking off his first big ad campaign since clinching the nomination for the Democrats. We'll find out how effective that ad campaign is likely to be.
And we'll talk sports with the BPP's Bill Wolf. The Chicago Cubs have the best record in baseball. Bill is a St. Louis Cardinal fan, as is his son Ike, presumably. I don't think Ike's going it alone of being a hated Cubs fan. We'll find out how things are going in the Wolf Stewart household.
Mm-hmm. And that girl talk reference, it's a mashup artist. He probably does talk on occasion. He is definitely not a girl, I've been told. We'll have an assisted listen of Girl Talk's new album. All that plus the most and the day's news headlines in just a minute. But first,
I'm keeping him in my thoughts. Where? Where exactly in your thoughts does he fit? In between my ass hurts from this chair and let's f*** the waitress.
That is comedian George Carlin sending up one of the cliches people say when someone dies, thereby making himself a tough guy to write an obituary for. The comedian died of heart failure yesterday at 71 after being hospitalized for chest pains.
Carlin's name usually gets said after words like influential and groundbreaking, as well as subversive and counterculture figure. When he started out in the 1950s, Carlin was more known for wordplay and observational stuff more than anything. After he was established, the anti-establishment stuff took over.
Baseball versus football, A Place for My Stuff, and Cats versus Dogs, all classics. But the most newsworthy of his routines was Seven Words You Can Never Say on Television. That makes it pretty hard for obituary writers, especially those of us in broadcasting. Let's hear what CNN did with that routine.
Now that was the originalist.
A word for excretion, for urination, for having sex, for breasts. And three words still so radioactive, we can't even describe them.
No, the last word is not that radioactive. That was part of the routine. It just means boobs. That's funny in its own way. But the real bit was taken much more seriously back in the 70s. Carlin was arrested several times for performing it on stage. And when New York radio station WBAI aired the bit, unbleeped and without word for urination, the FCC slapped the station with a fine, sparking a landmark indecency case that made it to the U.S. Supreme Court.
The Grammy-winning comedian did more than stand-up, though, showing up on the big screen in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. The Prince of Tides, and as a voice in the Pixar flick Cars. He was the host of the first ever Saturday Night Live. He had a short-lived sitcom on Fox and showed up as the narrator of the children's show Thomas the Tank Engine, some of his finest work. He also wrote three best-selling books.
And among the things he didn't do, you know all those emails you get with commencement speeches that Carlin supposedly delivered and essays he supposedly wrote? You probably will get a bunch of those today. He didn't write any of them. Check his website. He puts it all straight.
Carlin was set to receive the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor at the Kennedy Center in November. He stayed busy to the end. Carlin worked last weekend at the Orleans in Las Vegas and had dates there through the end of November.
We will not say we're keeping him in our thoughts, and we definitely won't be bleeping him in our thoughts. But you know that. Now let's get some more of today's headlines with the BPP's Matt Martinez.